Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this Sunday, the second Sunday in Eastertide, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a reminder here that on Saturday the 13th, there will be the women's tea gathering. Please mark that down on your calendar. I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time, but that's going to be on Saturday the 13th, which is next Saturday at 12:30. Also, please make sure that you take the time to read your bulletin to stay abreast of all that is happening at Olney Presbyterian Church.
For this morning's first reading, New Testament reading, Acts 4, verse 32 to 35, can be found on page 951 of your Bibles. Hear God's word for us. Now the company of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and the distribution was made to each as any had need. Here is the reading of this holy word.
Our gospel reading is going to come from the Gospel of John this morning. We'll be reading from the 20th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning at verse 19 and reading through verse 31. It is found on page 945 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us this morning. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? And put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's the word of the Lord. This text is every year read during on the second Sunday in Easter. And I like it. It's one of my favorite texts. I love the fact that Jesus shows up to his disciples, the resurrected Jesus shows up and makes himself known to his disciples as they are hunkered in fear in the upper room. But there's always one feature in this text that's always concerned me a little bit, and that's the fact that the resurrected Lord shows up and he still has his wounds, still has the scars in his body from Good Friday. Every time I read that, it makes me a little bit upset because I don't want Jesus to have any scars. I don't want him to have any wounds. He's been resurrected from the dead. I want him to be brand new. I want him to be perfect. I don't want him to have any wounds because I don't want to have any scars when I'm resurrected. What God has done for Jesus, God promises to do for all of us. And when I'm resurrected, I don't want to have any scars. I want to be brand new. I want to be perfect. And yet we are told that Jesus has these scars in his body. We all have scars, of course, scars that mark past hurts and pains that have come to identify us in many ways. I have a number of scars, two rather pronounced scars that have been with me for quite some time, one on my arm that I had ever since I was a small child where I had to have stitches, and one on my back from playing basketball, falling on an old garage door. But we all have scars. I've sustained other bumps and bruises and scars and stitches, but I've always considered those two major scars my identifying marks. And I'm sure you all have your scars as well, not just physical scars, but also emotional and psychological scars. We all experience those things on this side of life. Sometimes we do our best to keep our scars covered up, but we all have them. Our scars have a past. They say a lot about who we are. They say a lot about us. Sometimes our scars say clumsy. That's how I've gotten most of my scars, from being clumsy. Sometimes scars say brave. They say that we are brave. When I was in the Army, I remember some of the Vietnam veterans showing off their scars. This is where I was hit with shrapnel. This is where the bullet went in and came out. They were showing off their scars. Sometimes our scars are not just about us, but about other people's carelessness or other people's cruelty that have left us deeply wounded and with our scars. A friend of mine who's just recently gone through a divorce was telling me about her scars. She was married for over 30 years and suddenly found that she was divorced. And even though she tries to live a normal life, a life, outgoing life, I can tell that she's still deeply affected, still scarred by the whole situation. We all have our scars, those wounds deep down inside of our hearts. And the resurrection is a reminder that God can take the worst that can happen to us and transform it and redeem it. But still, I would have thought that when God raised Jesus from the dead, that God would have gotten rid of his scars. You know, the scars on his hands and the scars on his feet, the scars in his side, the scars of the crucifixion. But those were just the visible scars. I'm sure Jesus had other scars too. I'm sure he was scarred by the mocking that he received. I'm sure he was scarred by the rejection. I'm sure he was deeply wounded by the sense of abandonment, by the desertion and betrayal. I'm sure Jesus was deeply wounded inside of himself. But still, he had his scars. The resurrected Lord still had his scars. The crucifixion, of course, was one of the most painful and agonizing and humiliating experiences that anyone would ever go through. And you would wonder, why in the world would God allow Jesus to continue to carry around in his resurrection body the scars of his crucifixion? Why would he want to carry around the wounds that would force him to remember the pain and rejection and the humiliation of Good Friday? I'm sure that God could have easily patched him up. God could have easily made him brand new and gotten rid of all the scars. And yet there he is, the resurrected Lord, on that first Easter Sunday, according to John's gospel, standing in the midst of his disciples, and he still has those scars. Look, he says, see my scars, see my hands, my feet, see my side. I still have the scars. I find it interesting that the disciples seem only to come to recognize the Lord when he shows them his wounds, his scars. He comes to be in the midst of them, and he says, peace be with you. And apparently they still don't even recognize him. And then it's when he shows them the scars that we are told that they were glad when they saw the Lord. Of course, Thomas wasn't there when he showed up the first time. And so the disciples tell Thomas, we have seen the Lord, but Thomas refuses to believe it. I will not believe it until I'm able to see for myself, until I'm able to touch the wounds and the scars. I don't think Thomas has a problem with believing that God could raise somebody from the dead. After all, Thomas was with Jesus when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, just a few chapters before, so Thomas knows that God is able to raise someone from the dead. But I think Thomas's problem is he has trouble believing that God would raise Jesus from the dead. Jesus who was crucified, Jesus who was humiliated, Jesus who was cursed on the tree. Why would God raise Jesus from the dead? This Jesus. And so Thomas says, I'm going to need to see the scars. I'm going to need to see the marks in his body, the marks in his flesh. I won't believe until I'm able to see his scars. And of course, then the Lord shows up for Thomas as well, and Thomas is able to see for himself. Look, Thomas, it's me. Put your hands here. Put your finger here. Feel my side. Feel my hands. And it's in the seeing of the scars that Thomas recognizes Jesus. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. It's a confession that begins with the marks, the scars, seeing and experiencing the scars of Good Friday. I think the Lord keeps his scars in order to help us keep the connection between the glorious resurrected Lord and the crucified suffering Christ. You can't have one without the other. You can't see the glorified resurrected Lord without first seeing that he is the crucified, suffering Messiah. He is the one who has come to identify with all of us in the depths of our own suffering, in the depths of our own pain, and in the depths of the suffering and pain of the world. But we can only see the resurrection, the resurrected Lord, when we fully are able to see that he is the crucified Lord, the crucified resurrected Lord. A few years ago, there was an American preacher who was being interviewed by the BBC, and he was asked what he thought about Jesus, and he remarked that Jesus was the most successful religious figure of all time. And the interviewer said, well, I thought Jesus had actually ended up on the cross. And the preacher said, oh, no, he did, but he overcame the cross and put all of that behind him. But that's not exactly true. The Lord doesn't put his scars behind him. He doesn't leave the marks of his body on the other side of the grave, but even as he is resurrected, he still has his wounds, he still has his scars visible for everyone to see. The resurrected Lord retains his scars because they are the marks of love. They are the wounds and scars that he sustained for all of us. They are the wounds that will eternally identify him for who he is. Not just the resurrected Lord, but the crucified, resurrected Lord. In Graham Greene's novel, The End of the Affair, a woman contemplates a scar on her lover's shoulder. And the woman says to herself, as she examines the scar, I thought of that scar on his shoulder that wouldn't have been there if he once hadn't tried to protect another man from a falling wall. The scar was part of his character, and I knew I wanted that scar to exist through all eternity. And that's true of Jesus, of course. The marks of the Lord's passion were not marks that could be readily blotted out by his resurrection, but they were vital elements of his eternal character. They revealed not only his love, but the love of God and the love that God holds for all things, that God's love holds all things together. And so when God raised Jesus from the dead, God raised him with his scars. God wanted everyone to be able to see the scars on his hands, the scars in his side, the scars which are indicative of God's love for all of us, indicative of God's love for the world, indicative of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We cannot understand anything about God unless we first understand God's self-giving sacrificial love for all of us, indicated by the cross. And so God will not, in raising Jesus from the dead, dispense from Jesus's, from the scars that Jesus sustained on Good Friday. It's sobering what Jesus tells his disciples after showing them his scars. He says, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending all of you. In other words, you and I now are Christ's body. We are the body of Christ. We are the people sent out into the world. But we don't go out into the world without our scars. We need to have the marks of the Lord in our body. Not our physical body, but our body collectively together as God's people. We need to have the marks visible for all the world to see, the marks of sacrificial, self-giving love. That's the only way that the world will come to see the crucified, resurrected Lord in the midst of the world today. I suspect you're going to hear a lot in the coming weeks, in the coming months. You're going to hear a lot about Jesus. There's a lot of things that's going to be said in Jesus' name. A lot of cruelty that's going to be justified in the name of Jesus. A lot of indifference is going to be said and done in the name of Jesus. A lot of interpretations of the Bible that are going to be done in the name of Jesus. It's something that's always been done, but the question to ask yourself is, is, does it look like Jesus? Does it look like the crucified, resurrected Lord? The thing to always look for whenever people begin to use Jesus talk is to look for the scars. Look for the marks. Look for the marks of love. Look for the marks of sacrificial self-giving. Look for the marks of the cross. If it doesn't have the marks of the cross, if it doesn't have the marks of love, if it doesn't have the marks of sacrificial self-giving love, then I would advise you to take the advice of Thomas. If it doesn't have the marks of love, then don't believe it. Don't believe it comes from Jesus. It doesn't. In order to come from Jesus, it has to have the marks. You're going to see the scars visible, the scars of God's self-giving love, because that's the way of God. That's the way God has made himself known in the world. That's the way God makes his way in the world. That's the way Jesus made his way in the world. It's through the scars. Look at my scars. Feel my scars. Feel my side. Look at my scars. They're the scars of love. And they're the marks and the scars that should be incumbent upon us as God's people. I wonder, after our resurrections, if we will still have our scars. I wonder if I will still have the scars on my arm and on my back. I wonder if we will still remember and be connected in some way to the deep emotional and psychological wounds that have been so traumatizing to us. But I'm sure that they'll be transformed into something beautiful, into something redemptive and life-giving beyond our imaginations. And we are called to be agents of that redemption and transformation even now, as we live as God's people and as we proclaim the stunning good news that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the forces and powers of death have already been overcome. And so shall they always be overcome. But always remember to look for the marks, the scars of God's love in the midst of the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks again this morning for the great love that you have shown each and every one of us, for the love that you have shown the whole world. And we thank you for the sacrificial, self-giving obedience of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask that you go with us as we continue to journey in the midst of your world. Help us to be people who bear the marks, who bear the marks of your love in the midst of our world. And we ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.